Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
And welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I've got a great guest for you today, Lisa Miller. She's a founder and CEO at the award-winning Boston digital agency, Ladybugs Interactive, and founder of the Metro West Women's Network. Recent accomplishments include being featured on the cover of Boston Business Journal's 2020 Annual Book of Lists and named in 10 Women-Owned Agencies You Should Know by Agency Spotter. She's also been featured for her expertise in Entrepreneur.com, Fortune.com, Thrive Global, CIO, and Business Insider. She also regularly contributes thought leadership content to agency publications and podcasts. You can follow her on Twitter at Lisapreneur. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes for you. So Lisa, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here on this lovely Tuesday.
Yes, it is. It's a lovely Tuesday here in Michigan. It's supposed to be in the upper 70s, which is crazy for April.
That makes me happy and brings me to a happy place.
No kidding, right? So let's fill in a little bit of the gaps here from your bio and tell people a little bit about your journey and then a little bit more about what you're doing today for folks.
Sure. Well, I came here from Canada in my early 20s to come work for an agency in Portland, Maine. And I did that for a few years and my dog's barking. Sorry. And then after that, I worked for CBS Interactive. And during my time there, I decided to have kids. So I went freelance and I started the name Ladybugs. And so I was doing freelance work under Ladybugs the whole time raising my kids. So I didn't work for that many years comparatively to other people. So I didn't have a ton of work experience behind me. So then when my kids started getting a little older, I started to grow my agency. And then in 2016, I merged with another B2B agency, was there for 4 years, and decided to go back out on my own again under Ladybugs during the pandemic. So that's kind of my history. And, you know, I do a lot of PR and branding and different stuff like that. So in my first round of Ladybugs before I merged, you know, I really had built a brand for ourselves. And then I continued to build the brand for the new company. But during COVID, I just really realized what I really wanted to do. I don't want to be part of a big agency. I really enjoy being in a small agency and I really enjoy working with smaller clients. And so I really just had to follow my passion and go back and do that again and figure out a way to do it successfully during COVID. So far it's working out pretty good.
That's awesome. So when you say you're a digital agency, what kinds of things do you, what kind of services do you provide for individuals?
Yeah, so I think most in the beginning, mostly what I did was websites, because that's what we did at all the various agencies that I had worked at previously. So web design and SEO became really strong suits of mine. So I continued to do that when I left the corporate world. And so, you know, we are still very heavily web design focused. And now that I've worked for, you know, larger agencies and seen different processes, you know, we're able to give a really great quality product that you would get at a higher level agency with a very expert level team. So we really focus on that as our first and foremost service now. When I had Ladybugs before I merged with the other agency, we were really highly focused too on digital marketing. And, you know, most of our business was retainer business. And now it's kind of the opposite, which I wouldn't have thought that because so many people, you know, we're, as agencies, we're taught, like, get that retainer. The retainer is the thing. But I think right now, during COVID, it's very hard for people to commit to those and commit to those monthly budgets when they don't know what their business is going to do tomorrow. So one thing, being a smaller agency, is we've been able to offer, like, more flexible services. So, you know, our pricing can be a little bit more flexible. Our programs can be a little bit more flexible. And so filling that gap, especially during COVID, has been really successful and a successful strategy for us. I definitely saw a need in the marketplace for an agency that provides the services that we provide in the price range that we provide them in. So we definitely saw the niche and took advantage of that. And it's been super rewarding and super, super fun. Like it is the best thing ever.
That is awesome. And you're so right, because we've talked to different agencies and, you know, when you don't really know, sometimes you don't know what you don't know and you don't know what you need. And so mm-hmm. when people are explaining, well, we'll do this, 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 and this, and this, like, do I really need that? What is it that I need right this minute? And then you go into this big retainer and then you're stuck in it for however long that you've signed a contract for. And I've walked away out of several months never really actually getting the one thing that was the one thing that we wanted to get done. And it's frustrating.
Yeah, it can be. So, you know, we've just changed the model up a little bit. We mm-hmm. still have like very specific processes. And I think we've just changed the services up too a little bit so that, you know, that you are getting specific. It's kind of a little bit more value-based where you are getting specific things every month. It's not like, you know, you have a retainer and you can do this and do that every month. It's like, we have a project, we're going to get it done this month. So I'm definitely seeing a little bit more of that project kind of attitude around it, but they will do a project every month versus like a standard, some kind of standard support package or marketing package. So mm-hmm. I definitely see where people want very specific things done that might not fit in the model of a retainer or the model of a web support contract or something like that. And I find that it's a lot more expertise. So they're not looking for us to come in and update their website, or they're not looking for us to come in and do like low level stuff. They're really looking for us to come in and do high level expert stuff. So a lot of our the work that we're doing for clients, we have high level experts involved in the process every time. So approaching it from a project kind of perspective or point of view is definitely a little bit better right now. I don't know if that's always going to be the model, but that seems to be working for us right now. And I think a lot of businesses don't know how to pivot. They don't know what they're supposed to do next. So I think that expertise is something they really need, and they're willing to pay for that. And you know, and then if they can define what goals they want to meet and what products and services they want to buy, then you can kind of help them a little bit easier getting to that finish line. So that's definitely what we've found. I don't know if every agency has found that. It might be because the clients we work with are typically, you know, a little bit under the 10 million in revenue, some up to 20 million in revenue. So they definitely have a little bit more of a budget than, you know, some other businesses. So that's just what we're finding in that space that we're in.
Good. So then you start a new business in the middle of COVID, which that, you know, that took some courage, I would say, just kind of step out on that. But how do you feel that business has, you know, shaped your lifestyle? And what was it that made you, there was probably some stability in being part of that agency, but then you decided to go back on your own again in the middle of COVID. So what was the determining factor in that? And then also, how's that affected your lifestyle today?
I want to say a little bit agency. I was having some agency burnout over the past few years, just in general, from doing this for so long and trying to, you know, build agencies and stuff like that. And so my main inspiration was, you know, I wanted to use my founder capabilities. I'm kind of a founder. I like working in companies at that growth stage. Not as much like these corporations that need support or need, you know, a new website. Like, I really enjoy being part of the growth process. So that was kind of the catalyst of why I wanted to do this, but I wasn't really looking to actually start another agency. I was actually looking to maybe go into a company and do that, get in more at a growth level and be a part of that growth. That's just what I love. And there's lots of people that love that, you know, and then when the company gets to a certain level, like, you're no longer, okay, this isn't really for me anymore. So I like that kind of challenge. And so I had to do a lot of soul searching about what that would look like. Do I want to go work for a company? Do I want to go work for a startup? What do I really want to do? So I took a few months to reflect on that. And I think, I hate to say this because it might sound a little corny, but I feel like the universe was kind of pushing me back towards the agency, direction. And people just started coming to me and asking me if I would come help them. And so I kind of formulated the agency based on what clients were asking for and trying to help them and seeing that some of these clients had the same needs. And so that was very, you know, encouraging to me. I was like, oh, I can come in, I can help these people, I can build a team around helping these people. And the second thing I really wanted to do was help my other agency friends. So a lot of us that had that may have had small agencies, you know, the beginning of the pandemic was very difficult, especially very difficult for ones in the B2C space, which is business to consumer. So restaurants, you know, those customer-based businesses that really got hurt by COVID, whereas like the B2B businesses were not as, they were still affected and couldn't spend big budgets, but it was definitely those smaller companies. So a lot of my friends that had smaller agencies or just freelance agencies really were hurting. And I was like, how can I help my friends? Like, how can I help all these awesome people out? Like they're telling me, you know, that they didn't have work. So I built my agency around giving them work, and it just turned into this, like, we're all friends, we're all working together, we're all working on wonderful projects. And, you know, the whole Ladybugs vibe just kind of, we kind of call ourselves like the funky co-op, because we're all these expert level, you know, people who've worked in agencies and or have our own small agency, but, you know, can't really get what everything we want on our own. So by putting our powers together, we've created like this kind of super awesome agency where we can pick the projects we want to work on. We can pick the teams we want to work with. And if we want, we can refer business to our friends and partners if we don't want to do it. So it's actually been like awesome that way. And the team has been definitely part of the growth. So I definitely am not doing this alone. Everybody in my group is helping me, is guiding me, is, you know, guiding the clients. Like, it's just such an amazing group of people. So I think just whatever the energy was that became Ladybugs has just, you know, been exponential. And it's just a really happy place for everybody. So
awesome.
I don't know if that's a scientific explanation or not, the universe, but it's just, I guess, the energy you put out there.
You know, it is so true, though. I do think there is a lot to the energy that you put out is often what you'll get back. So it's important that that's what we're doing. So let's talk about your superpowers. Like, what have you identified as kind of a couple of your superpowers or real good skill sets that have helped and contributed to having your own business?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's skills as much as, I guess it is kind of skills, but just embracing like who you are and what you love to do and putting that into your business. Because I'm kind of a generalist, you know, expert of none. So I know how to do a lot of things, but I'm not really an expert in any one area. So, you know, something I've realized, not just in this business, but in the past, is that, you know, I'm really great at strategy and I can come in and I can help the team strategize something, but, you know, I have experts to do the work. So I don't really want to waste my time doing work when I have people that are even better at the work than me. So I try not to involve myself in the business and do what I love, which is building relationships. I think I've spent, you know, the last 5 or 6 years really focused on building relationships. And I really attribute my agency now, like where we are, to that, because I had all these relationships with these people. I knew them so well. I knew what their needs were. And getting to know those people really, really well and actually like caring about them, not like, not you're just a connection and I'm going to network with you. And it really, you know, the relationships became pretty personal. So I don't really think it's as important to have tons of connections as it is to have less really meaningful connections. So that's something I'm really, really great at, is just building those connections and getting to know people. And then the other thing I'm really good at is I'm just really good at like social media and PR. That's just kind of like, I like doing it for fun. I don't necessarily like want to do it for my clients all the time, but I think I got into it on the earlier side and I've just been able to utilize that. And my background is in public relations. So that is a nice benefit to have when you're an agency owner over other agencies, because you get really great at promoting yourself. So, I mean, I think those are two things. And I mean, I think a third thing is I'm just kind of a people person. I'm one of those people, like, I hate to say it, but I'm always the life of the party. And so one of my senior people in my agency says, we're deadly serious about having fun. And so I think, you know, people tell me they love being around me, you know, my energy is great and I can like rally a crowd, you know, I'm not like a public speaker or anything, but I can get a great event going. I can rally the right people in. And so I think those are kind of my, you know, my greatest skills. And that is what I try to put into my business, is the things that I am really good at and not try to do the things that I'm not good at, like, and hire people to do those things.
Great. So let's talk about an outstanding accomplishment. So what is something that you've achieved through all this that's been super meaningful?
I mean, I think that I had different goals like a year or two ago. Like I, you know, I was with a larger agency and I had big goals and, you know, I just wanted to accomplish something. And so when I got on the cover of the Boston Business Journal, 220 book of lists, and they did like a full page feature on me, and, you know, they had multiple pages where we were mentioned. They basically focused on, you know, these growing businesses, like the top growing businesses in Massachusetts. So that's how I got featured on that. But the cool thing about that, I was like, okay, I've just been on the cover. And I mean, maybe that doesn't sound like a big deal to some people, but being on a Business Journal cover is a pretty big deal in your city. Not many people get on that list. It's a once a year thing. So I was very proud of that accomplishment. I'm like, I got my picture on the cover of the Boston Business Journal. So, and I actually turned 50 at the same time. So I had like all these things. I was like, okay, I'm 50. I accomplished this and blah, blah, blah. But then COVID happened and it was like, wow, like I'm really not doing what I really want to be doing, you know? And mm-hmm. I just think that I am an entrepreneur. So I think that if I, you know, having a business again, as I need to be, in control. I need to be the visionary. I need to be doing the things that I love. And I'm not scared of failure. So if I fail doing all these things that I love to do, that's not bad, because you always learn from your failures. And I accept that about myself, that I do fail. And so, you know, so I thought, you know, that big magazine cover would be, you know, the end all be all of like, I'm on top of the world. But like now looking back, I'm glad I accomplished that. I'm glad that I got all that recognition. I'm glad that I've been named, you know, a top woman agency owner. That's all great. But now it's like not about me. Like, I guess I want to say I was a little maybe selfish, you know, because I had these goals for myself.
Yeah.
But now I feel like my goals are for other people. Like, I want my team to have fun. I want to love my job. I want to help my clients. Like, it's, I've changed sort of, I don't need that kind of publicity anymore. I mean, I enjoy doing podcasts and different stuff like that, but I think in the level of awards, I've done what I need to do. I've been successful. Now I really want to get back to being small, get back and doing the work, get back to helping these small companies and, you know, through this tough time, because that just like feels good in the end. And that's, I just want to feel good about what I do. And I think that that's what's really changed with COVID, is that I've been home with my children full time. Some days good, some days bad. But I don't know. I think it kind of like kicked me in the butt and is like, you know, you need to slow down. First of all, you need to like slow down, lady. You ain't getting any younger. And you need to smell the roses and you need to do the things that you dream about. And I think that you kind of get stuck in your daily life of a job or a career and you forget about that stuff. And you're not doing yourself a service by doing that, you know? So I guess that's
absolutely
my take, you know, on that.
That's awesome. It's interesting because I do think, and it, sometimes I think, is it an age thing, you know, with wisdom, with age comes a certain amount of wisdom, but I know people that are in their 70s and they still are kind of that selfish, you know, like I think there is something that happens that you sort of, it's a growth within you that happens is what it is. And so it's no longer important about me. It becomes important collectively. Mm-hmm. And some people reach that conclusion. I can remember being in my, you know, early 30s and having a sales team and always winning sales awards, but then suddenly saying, it doesn't matter what awards I win. I want my team to start achieving these things. I want to help mm-hmm. individuals on my team get the awards and teach them how to do that. And so that became part of it. But some people, you know, I can say, oh, it kind of comes with age and wisdom, but it isn't. There's something in you that clicks that says, this is bigger than me. And I think that for some people, it takes them a long time to get there. Some people never get there. And some people can identify that much earlier in life and understand it, even in their late 20s. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think before I was doing it a little bit, you know, personally and in my role. But I think I realized if I had my own business, I could do it a lot more and be, you know, really, you know, no, nothing to hold you back. Like, oh, you have a job. This is the job you have to do. But, you know, owning your own company, you can do whatever you want. So if I want to, you know, do certain things, like I might not be able to do that in another business. So I was kind of like looking at it like I could take the small things because I was already doing, you know, we were doing great things at my old company, but I was able to take that and do more because I'm not as company focused.
Okay.
I'm definitely less company focused now. It is more about the team. It's not always about, it's definitely not always about the money. We formed a bit of a co-op agency. So the money that we do make as profit on top of paying ourselves, you know, we're sharing that. That's not, it's not really company money. It's everybody's money. So maybe I became a little bit more socialist too over time. I don't know. But I just feel like if everybody's contributing and everybody is a part of the company's success, then everybody should technically, you know, own part of that success in terms of like, you know, what we do for profit. So, you know, I think the number one thing for me too with my new company was that I wanted everybody to make what they felt like they should make. I didn't want to define what people could make. So the model that we have set forth is that you can make whatever you want to make, you know, and we have a formula like of how we do that. And so, and it was like more like, what kind of projects do you want to work on? Okay, then we can focus on that. So it's definitely more team centric. And I think coming from that, everything just comes from that. If everybody's amazingly happy, everything else comes out of that, you know. And I think we're more of a creative team. So there's more creative people here. So I think being able to have more creative freedom is great for people. And so I'm a believer in that. So, you know, if this agency gets too big, then we're going to have too many processes in place to be able to really allow people to do that. So we definitely have a vision for like how big we want to get, what we want to be doing. So, you know, and together we've defined that. So
that's great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Working from my, it just means that I'm happy when I'm working. That's all it means. It's, you know, it's just to make sure that I'm happy in the, whatever I'm doing in my company, that makes me happy. Because if I'm happy when I'm working, I'm in my happy place. And
absolutely.
Again, that's something else that I just, that I'm getting from my team. Like, what makes you guys happy? Like, cause if we're all happy at work, and we're working, you know, so many hours a week, it doesn't, you know, because with this agency, there's less, you know, we're not on scheduled time. Like we all work based on, you know, whatever the times we're needed or when we want to work. So we don't have at all like a 9-to-5 schedule. Nobody really does. I do mostly because I have my kids and maybe some people do, but this is a total agency of freedom. And so we're all adults and can manage our own schedule. So that's just really important, you know, that everybody has that happy place. Being that they're really happy at work, but they can do whatever they want on the side. Like, so a lot of the people that work here, they're like a couple of them are like extreme sports people. Like, so one guy's a skier, he's always going to Vermont. He takes calls from Vermont when he's there. Another guy is, he's from here, but he's traveling in Spain and he's crazy. He does like surfing and the highest mountains. And then for some people, it's just biking. For me, it's just being able to go out for a walk whenever I feel like and go for an hour in the middle of the day or be able to pick my kids up from school. Having that total freedom over my life is super important to me. And if you're not a person, if you're a person that doesn't crave that, then you're not going to be a right fit for our agency, because that's how we all operate. So, you know, it, in terms of what you want as a employee or a team member, you know, we're not the right company, obviously, for everybody, but we're the right company for people who want what we have, basically.
Very good. So let's talk about, tell me a little bit about, you're the founder of the Metro West Women's Network. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's very sad right now because, you know, we can't meet in person. But basically what happened was I got divorced about 5 years ago. And so when I got divorced, I had to like move from my town. So I kind of like lost a lot of my friends, and I was kind of like in a different place, you know, than my old friends were. So I was like, you know, I had done some networking events at my house. but then I was like, I don't know, maybe I should start a women's group where women like me, and not that you're divorced, but just people who are lacking relationships in their lives and they want different relationships. Like I wanted relationships that were outside of my personal life. Like people didn't know that I had just gotten divorced. And I wanted to like create this whole network of kind of like autonomy and women who just wanted to come in and meet new friends and, you know, new business connections. So we started with like an online group, and it just grew really, really fast. And, you know, then we started having events once a month. So that was just really, really great. And so with COVID, you know, we decided not to do online events. So we mostly just do stuff inside the Facebook group now. We have like 5,000 members to support each other's businesses. And it's really geographic centric because we were trying to help women more in the suburbs of Boston, whereas, you know, downtown Boston is a lot easier to get places and network with people and go to events where we didn't feel we had that out here. So I think it grew also from a need, a personal need for me, and also the need that I saw for women in this area to connect. And it's been great. Like I've watched people in the groups, you know, grow their businesses, get new clients. I mean, it's just, and again, it goes back to like, I just love helping people. Like I'm so glad I created this network because so many people have benefited from it. It's amazing.
Very good. So let's talk about what advice you would give to others wanting to sort of go down this entrepreneurial journey. So you certainly have been down it and then got out of it and then jumped back into it. So it's clearly something that you love. So what kind of advice would you give or encouragement would you give to others that are thinking about it?
Yeah, I mean, one thing is that I this time I started with a lot of experience and I can't say that I did that before. And it is very hard to grow it in the beginning. So my advice would be before you jump off ship of whatever you're doing, just have a good foot in the door already. You know, so if you're working a full-time job and you want to start a side operation, like already start it while you're doing it and get your toes wet and figure it out before you just jump in. Like don't just jump in from nowhere. Like get a start first because it does take time. And so if you can kind of like dabble a little bit and get your feet a little wet, then by the time you're ready to leave your job or whatever else you're doing, you know, you'll already be somewhere. You won't be starting from nowhere. So I would always say just like start from somewhere, not nowhere. So that would be one thing. And then second thing is just grow your network of people that can help you. There's so many awesome women out there that have so many great ideas, great businesses that can help you. So find yourself a tribe of people who've done what you're doing or are doing what you're doing and can keep you really going and keep help you along the way. So those would be my two biggest, because you can't do it. You can do it alone. It's just a lot harder and you don't have to. So why do it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome, Lisa. Thank you so much for just sharing your passion. That's what's come across more than anything else today is you're extremely passionate about what you're doing. And I think that's always an important thing as entrepreneurs or business owners that we are passionate about what we're providing. And that clearly has come through in this interview and you gave lots of really great nuggets. But what are some new and exciting things that you're working on and our listeners might benefit from? And then, of course, let people know where they can find you or connect with you.
Well, I have to think about that. What am I doing that's new? I don't know if it can benefit people, but we're launching a new brand to niche out a little bit in what we do, just to totally focus on a certain type of client and industry. So that's exciting. So if you have a business and you're very generic focused, you know, look at your clientele and see if there's a way that you can niche. Because sometimes the riches are in the niches, I think is the saying. But when you're really, really good at something, it's easier to replicate it and like do a really good job at it. The second thing is that we had a sales empowerment summit that we did a couple years ago, and then COVID hit. So we're planning to reignite that this October, hopefully. But we are going to do it online. So that's a big fear for me. I'm not that great at these virtual events. I struggle with that. I just want to go to the party and be the event. So if you want to keep your eye out for the Sales Empowerment Summit, that's a really great way to, you know, get a bunch of experts talking about, you know, ways for you to sell. And it's not necessarily sales. So it's a little bit marketing sales. And it is geared towards women. So those are kind of the two big things that I'm working on right now.
And when will that summit be?
It's supposed to be in October.
Okay.
So I just hired my first director of customer success because I knew I couldn't do the event on my own, you know, with running the agency. So I've put it in her hands. So now that it's out there, she's going to have to follow through on that. But we did it a couple years ago and we did it in person and it was amazing. It was so much fun. It was so personalized. It was really geared to what women wanted and needed in their careers. And so I think we'll be able to address a lot of the stuff around COVID because so much has happened around now you have to do everything virtual. And so how do you, you know, make that part of your business and help your mm-hmm. business be successful? So that's what we kind of plan to address with that.
Great. And people can find you at?
Oh, so Twitter, I'm Lisapreneur. So Lisa with a Y. And also on Facebook, it's facebook.com/lisapreneur. And you can find me on LinkedIn. That's probably where I'm the most active. So it's just like Lisa with a Y Miller. Feel free to connect with me. Instagram, Lisapreneur. So I'm on all the channels, but I definitely love LinkedIn the best. So that's probably where you're most likely going to find me.
All right. Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Lisa, once again, for joining us today on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure and congratulations on all of your successes. It's always fun to see, especially women, really kind of making a statement with what they're doing and doing it well. So congratulations on that. I think it's awesome. And thanks for sharing with us today. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining in today and taking the time to listen to this episode. And I just encourage you to leave a review, refer us to a friend, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single great episode. Thanks so much, everyone, and we'll see you again soon on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.